Hello, 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 geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome to Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Before we get into things, I just wanted to thank everybody who has voted so far for me in the Up Next contest. Just keep sending those votes. If you don't know how to go vote, the link to vote for my song is in the bio of my band's Instagram page, and that is Raped by Wolves Band Official, all one word. You can look that up or type that in the search for Instagram, and you can find the page and the link, like I said, is in the bio. And once again, thank you for everybody that's voted and supported me so far in this contest. I really appreciate it, and you guys are the real winners. I wouldn't be doing any of this shit if it weren't for you guys. No matter how shitty this podcast is or how shitty my music is, you know, at least I know some people are fucking listening to it. And I really appreciate you guys for that. So, thank you. I believe there is 5 or 4 days left to vote until the top 15 bands in each category progress into round 2. So, like I said, I believe there's 5 or 4 days left to where you can vote before round 2 starts. So for this episode, I thought I'd do something just a tiny bit different. I've done something similar to this before back in season 3 or season 2, I believe. Fucked if I remember. Go back and look through the past episodes if you really want to know, where I talked about mental health and how it connected to Jason Voorhees and the Friday the 13th franchise. And mental health, sorry, I fucked up there. So not many people realize that June is actually Men's Mental Health Month. You know, everybody's always busy posting about Hot Girl Summer and all that bullshit, but nobody takes the time to really realize that men's mental health is a big issue, especially within the last couple years. Men ages 18 through 45 have the highest suicide rate out of everybody. And it's only climbing year by year. And obviously this is a big problem that no one really addresses, because let's face it, as guys, we don't talk about what's bothering us. We don't talk about our feelings, because let's face it, nobody really gives a flying fuck about how we feel or, you know, how we're doing mentally, because we're men. We're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be, you know, we're not supposed to have feelings, I guess, is the best way to put it. And nobody realizes, you know, the stress and shit that we really go through, because we don't show it. That's just how we are. But like I said, it is a big issue, and the suicide rates for men just keep climbing higher and higher. And it really is a big problem. But like I said, everybody's always busy fucking posting about Hot Girl Summer or their fucking relationship problems that nobody really gives a shit about, or posting what they're having for fucking breakfast. Like anybody gives a shit about that. So since Men's Mental Health Month is slowly coming to an end with almost no mention of it anywhere, I thought I'd dedicate this episode to mental health and horror movies. And, you know, if they really are bad for your mental health, like so many critics want to claim it is. So, as most people know, horror movies contain psychological tricks that create illusions of suspense and danger through the manipulation of images, sound, and story. Although your brain is aware that the threats aren't real, your body simultaneously registers them as if they were. And as any horror movie fan knows, that when you're watching horror films, your heart pumps and the adrenaline flows, and your attention narrows in, even as you know you are at home or in the theater, and that there is no real danger to your well-being. Watching a horror movie is kind of like being on an amusement park ride, where you can feel terrified while at the same time know that you're generally safe and that no harm can be done to you. They're designed to create certain emotions such as tension, fear, stress, and shock, and these can cause release of the hormones in the body such as cortisol and adrenaline from the from the nervous system. And there may also be a psychological response from these hormones as well, by the way of pupil dilation, increased heart rate, and muscle tension. Now, in past episodes, myself and part-time co-host Jerry Hartman, better known to some of you as Animus Morgue, have both stated that oftentimes we'll put on a horror movie and fall asleep to it to help us sleep. I don't know, I guess it's just us being fucked up. I know we're not the only ones that do it, but you know, just for some reason, a lot of people looked at it as fucked up. And everybody knows that getting a good night's sleep is incredibly important for both physical and mental health. And although adrenaline contributes to the overall experience of the movie, the elevated states of your adrenaline while watching a horror movie can make it harder to sleep. Because for some of us, the post-horror euphoria that we feel after watching a horror movie is actually activating all our senses, not relaxing them. So this can be a roller coaster for people that really, how should I put this, who really have a fear of things that are going on in the horror movies. It can make them, watching it one while trying to sleep can obviously make it harder for someone to go to bed right before they go to sleep, if they're watching them, is what I'm trying to say. And because of this with some people, poor sleep has been linked to mental health issues. It's estimated that 90% of people with depression experience poor sleep quality, and some research suggests that poor sleep in older adults increases the risk of death by suicide. Research also suggests that going 3 or more consecutive nights in a row without sleep can result in perceptual distortions, delusions, and hallucinations. And this is a subject that has actually been breached quite often in horror movies, such as Bad Dreams, or even on the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, where obviously people don't want to go to sleep because of their nightmares because of Freddy Krueger. And for some people, in a kind of connecting effect, horror on the screen can trigger nightmares, which are proven to disrupt REM and cause disrupted or poor quality of sleep. So obviously, if you're affected by horror movies before you sleep, don't fucking watch them. It's that simple. You know, you can't go around blaming horror movies for your poor mental health. It's just like how people, when Columbine happened, you know, people tried to place the blame on Marilyn Manson and Eminem for that tragedy when it happened. And like I said, while it was, what happened at Columbine was a tragedy, you can't place the blame on movies or music or even video games. It is my belief that if someone has it in their mind to shoot up a school, they're going to do it anyway, whether, you know, they're watching horror movies or playing a violent video game or listening to a violent band like Cannibal Corpse or 6 Feet Under or any other fucking death metal band. If they have it in their mind to do it, they're going to do it anyway. You can't place the blame on entertainment. Studies have also shown that people who suffer from anxiety are more likely to be negatively impacted by horror films. And I find this quote-unquote fact to be bullshit because I suffer from chronic anxiety. And horror movies, or my watching horror movies, has absolutely nothing to do with elevating my anxiety. Because I know that what I'm seeing on the screen, whether in a movie theater or at home, is all fake. I know that it's not real life. So if something's not real life, it's not going to up my anxiety. You know, I mean, say if, I mean, and obviously there's no way that this would happen because, once again, horror movies are fake. But if I saw someone in a hockey mask chasing someone down the street with a fucking chainsaw, then of course it's going to elevate my anxiety because that's a real world situation. And I mean, while something like that quite possibly could happen, especially these days, it's 99.9% not going to happen. Like I said, not saying that it couldn't, especially these days, but let's face reality, the chances of it happening are slim to none. And while I'm not the smartest fucking person in the world, I'm smart enough to realize this. Studies have also shown that watching horror images could lead to unwanted thoughts and feelings, so there's usually a major urge in those who experience anxiety sensitivity to avoid such experiences. And once again, I'm going to call bullshit on this, because if they're saying that about horror movies, why do people with anxiety enjoy amusement park rides? I mean, like I stated before, the feelings generated by both horror movies and amusement park rides are basically the same fucking thing. So to me, that quote-unquote study doesn't make much sense. However, on the brighter side of these studies, the studies that I've talked about have also shown that despite being full of guts and gore, horror films can have positive effects on viewers as well. Generally, people who watch horror films tend to enjoy them for a variety of reasons, whatever they may be. So for most viewers, it's a positive impact. Watching horror films can also be an opportunity to confront one's fears as a viewer understands the horror and gets to enjoy the payoff of the resolution. You know, such as if someone is being treated for an anxiety disorder or OCD, horror movies can provide useful opportunities to face one's fears and develop the confidence that you can, in fact, endure unpleasant distress and that it's not as dangerous to you as you think it is. For myself and a lot of other people, horror movies have become a safe haven and a place where we can forget about the real horrors in our lives. It's kind of ironic, though, that as I got older, I came to realize how badly mental health has been portrayed throughout horror cinema, throughout all the fucking years that horror movies have been around. So much of horror's history in handling mental health has always been playing into it as a trope. You know, usually it's depicted as a plot device that provides context for a crazed or villainous character. And to me, not only is this lazy writing and illogically thought out, but it continues to perpetuate stigma surrounding mental health, especially in men. And it's because of this stigma that it has taken so long for us as a society to talk about the subject. And even with that in mind, there are still communities who suffer from mental illness that don't have the same opportunities to speak out or be heard. It's only in recent years that horror films have begun to handle the subject with more thoughtfulness, using well-crafted stories and character representation. Perhaps the best-known case study of mental illness in a horror movie comes in the form of Anthony Perkins's Norman Bates in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. By the end of the film, we learn that the main antagonist, Norman Bates, violent actions stem from dissociative identity disorder, or DID. While the disorder is serious and can lead to depression, PTSD, self-harm, and other issues, Psycho displays it as a means to lash out in violence. There's no major evidence that those with DID will become violent, but Psycho uses it as an excuse to make Norman Bates violent. Again, this is a major case where a character's mental health is used to establish a context for their quote-unquote craziness. It's this portrayal of mental illness leading to violence that is the genre's most damaging. In a more realistic case of Psycho, suffering from DID in itself wouldn't push someone to act out violently. Horror's use of dramatic emphasis of mental disorders and their effects cut at the severity of their seriousness, and whether it is this sense of associating mental illness with violence or the use of melodramatic emphasis, there's rarely ever any actual scientific basis or context provided in these works. While these movies can be a form of escapism and can be enjoyed as a fantasy, it isn't best practice to use something as serious as mental health and not provide anything understanding or provide any understanding beyond this is why so-and-so is crazy. In Psycho, we're just told that the character of Norman Bates has an identity disorder. We are never provided any understanding, though, of how this actually works. The sloppiness and lack of care in writing only damages society's view of concepts like DID, placing an assumption within one's mind that everyone with DID is this way. The misinterpretation of mental health extends into other various disorders. Besides the supernatural elements at work in Lights Out, which came out in 2016, it focuses on a mother who is suffering from depression. Those who have never had depression may think of it as just being sad. To the contrary, depression is more of a state in which one cannot feel happiness and loses hope. It's more of going through life without being able to feel joy, even when you consciously may know all around you is fine. It's being around those you love and who love you, but not being able to feel that love. And as for someone like myself, who has been diagnosed with chronic severe depression, you know, this misinterpretation throughout horror can be damaging to us mentally. Now, I'm not saying it's the case for everybody, but it can be, and at times, I will admit, it is for me as well. And in a movie such as Lights Out, it portrays the mother's character as being neurotic, and perhaps worse than how the disorder is portrayed is how other characters relate to it. In particular, her daughter views the mother as unreliable, bitchy, and demeans her for not taking her medication. So not only does the film misrepresent a heartbreaking disorder, but also presents characters outright judging someone for their suffering. Throughout numerous films, those who suffer with mental health difficulties have been labeled as quote-unquote weak or unstable. Lights Out just furthers the stigma of this quote-unquote weakness, only taking away from the true severity of clinical depression. It's one thing to have a psychologically driven horror film, but it's fucking unfair to take disorders so real that people suffer from and minimize them. That said, for all the years of unhealthy depictions of mental health, there are those works that present a positive focus in telling more honest and sincere stories. There are still bouts of problematic films, but there are more efforts to expose the seriousness of these disorders and generate empathy for those who suffer in more recent years. Most horror fans don't consider Lars von Trier's 2011 movie Melancholia to be a horror movie. They consider it to be more of an art film, but for someone like myself, it's one of the most heartbreaking and horrifying experiences I can think of. While the story focuses on a larger existential event taking place, its plot follows a character dealing with severe depression. With the film opening on said character's wedding, she constantly battles throughout the night trying to be happy. This is supposed to be the most wonderful day of her life, yet she cannot bring herself to feel that happiness, no matter how much she may want to. How does that not sound like a true horror? How does that not sound like an actual thing that countless people deal with every fucking day? Throughout this film, the character begins to lose hope in living and loses the ability to physically function at times. To be objective, this representation may be tough for a lot of people to have to comprehend or have to sit through and watch. But as someone who has dealt with serious depression, I can tell you, it's very real. It is never just being down or sad, but not being able to feel an ounce of happiness, no matter how much you may want to. And see, just there, I just had to stop recording because I got a little emotional talking about that. Because this is something, as a horror fan, I can personally connect to because I know how it feels and what it's like. And this actually goes through the lengths of trying to describe it and trying to make people realize what depression is really like. And it does a superb job of detailing these struggles and providing a somber glimpse into the dread of depression. And there's other films, or more recent films, that have done this, such as The Babadook, that deals with the woman coping with the death of her husband. It's revealed that he died on the way to the hospital while she was in the middle of giving birth. Her son survived this incident, but she blames herself for her husband's death. And while, yes, The Babadook is a supernatural monster movie, The Babadook itself isn't necessarily the titular creature itself. While, yes, The Babadook is unsettling to look upon, the real monster in this movie is the grief and depression that the main character lives with. And we eventually find out that the monster, the Babadook itself, is the embodiment of her pain. The movie explores the distance and despair that comes with this kind of emotional state and how it constantly beats upon one's mind and body. Throughout the story, we witness the main character barely able to sleep, having difficulty while working, and having a difficult time in just being happy. She drags herself throughout life, her grief constantly pulling her down. And while she strives to take care of her son, she cannot find it within herself to be close to him and open up. You know, in the end, the main character learns that the Babadook is something she must live with, and something that is never really ever going to go away. The loss and the pain will always be a part of her, which is something that, obviously, people with mental illness have to deal with themselves. And because people who don't suffer from this can't see it, it becomes a matter difficult to explain in public. And what better way to portray such a monster that we've learned has no fucking cure? Or look at both versions, or both movie adaptations, I mean, of Stephen King's Pet Sematary. Those both deal with the pain of child loss and trying to cope with it. The depression, the sadness, you know, the trying to understand that that child is never coming back. The child that you loved so much and would do anything for is gone forever. And the reality of that pressing down on you and going to extreme measures to bring that child back. Obviously, you know, that's something that's not going to happen in real life, but lots of people can relate to what happened in both the novel and those movies. And it's, again, it's not something a lot of people talk about. Look, I'm not a licensed or practicing psychologist. You can agree or disagree with the things I've said throughout this episode. Even though a lot of the things I have said during this episode are in fact damning to horror movies, I'm obviously still a huge fan, or I wouldn't be doing this fucking podcast. Yes, horror movies can damage and further the stigma of mental health in a lot of cases. But in some, it can also shine a little light into the reality of mental illness and the true horrors those who experience it have to deal with. But there is one thing for certain. We all need to focus more on mental health instead of stupid bullshit like fucking hot girl summer. And we, as men, need to break the stigma, start speaking out, and make people realize that even though we're men, it affects us too. We need to be heard. And only by putting aside the stigma and speaking out can we stop ourselves from just becoming another suicide statistic. I learned through horror films that I was not some kind of monster or lost hope, but that I could live a normal life with hope. My mental health and passion for the horror genre inspired me to do this podcast and take every opportunity I could to help educate others on mental health. And while the conversation is starting to pick up, there is still far too much stigma in the world to make the progress that needs to be made. But having said that, they have an immense power to generate empathy and to help us all better understand these struggles. The positive changes are happening, though, slowly but surely. And as we continue to push the conversation and become more open amongst ourselves, the art we love will continue to better understand mental health and slowly tear down the stigmas. And that just about wraps it up. As always, you can reach out to me at darksyde9034@gmail.com. And just one more thing, I just released a new album today. Addicta a la Carne. It's 9 songs, 28 minutes long. So go give it a check, or go check it out if you haven't already. I'd really appreciate it. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.